This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
LSU will kick off later this month, and the Big Ten will join the fray coming up in late October. So still 5 weeks to get ready and make sure that they've got all of their ducks in a row and protocols down pat. And that makes sense. I'm sad that they've missed so much time, but a lot of guys really excited. Justin Fields, the quarterback for Ohio State, tweeting, "Let's go!" And Ohio State football using a video on its Twitter to say that it's Ohio against the world. And there's a lot to be excited about when it comes to Big Ten football, even if we're just talking Buckeyes. There was a 13-1 record, a Big Ten championship, and a spot in the college football playoff. And even though Ohio State lost to Clemson in the semifinals, there are a lot of these teams that should be involved in the playoff rankings, that should be challenging for a title. But that's the upper echelon. There are so many more athletes who are doing it to get an education, who won't play pro football, whose names aren't household names, and yet it's so important for them to have this as part of their experience and also to be able to put themselves through college. And I'm excited for them. Can you imagine them getting the news over the last couple of days and just recognizing the Big Ten would reverse course and allow them to move forward? It had to be thrilling, and they must be ecstatic. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Big Ten making its announcement with Commissioner Kevin Warren, a unanimous decision on Wednesday.
It was all spearheaded and pulled together by our chancellors and presidents, and they really deserve the credit for their leadership to make sure that they kept the bar high in regards to expectations from a health and safety standpoint. And then I'm just very happy to be in front of you today to announce that we will be returning to competition to afford our incredible student athletes the opportunity to do what they love.
That's Kevin Warren on a video call. How we got to this point? Yay. I'm glad for them. I'm glad that they were able to admit that they can do something different before 2020 is up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Let's spend some time talking to a former college quarterback, Arkansas Razorbacks QB Clint Sterner, who is now part of our affiliate in Houston, Sports Radio 610. Clint, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. What's your reaction to seeing the Big Ten Conference a month after deciding, no, fall sports can't continue, reversing course and saying, okay, let's play some football?
Well, I'm not surprised after the football that I've watched. I mean, I've watched football for dang near a month now. University of Central Arkansas, I know a couple of players there, and so I watched those guys opening day and followed the next week, and there were no positive tests after that initial game. And so I knew that initial competition being played, that the testing following that was going to be obviously under a microscope. And when they came back clean and that organization or that program is continuing to play, and I knew that was a good sign, obviously, right? And the other Power 5 conferences not caving when the Pac-12 and the Big Ten did, you knew that was a good sign. So no, I can't say that I'm surprised that they came back with a lot of the pressure from the players and the parents and the public and the president and everybody else. So I can't say I'm surprised that they came back. I'm entertained by the way it all went down. The national media members that were that were, you know, behind not playing and really jumped on board when Big Ten decided not to play and the Pac-12 decided not to play. And now they're having to do a 180 and because the Big Ten is back in action. So, look, it's great for college football to have all the Power Five conferences. Hopefully the Pac-12 will follow.
Yes.
And we can put all this mess behind us.
When you say you're entertained or amused by it, is that because of the politics of it, or what makes you laugh about it?
Well, I think just the politics behind it, yes. The way that now the knee-jerk reaction to everything and every decision that an athlete makes or a program makes or in this instance a conference makes, the knee-jerk reaction for people to jump on board and have this strong opinion or this hot take, and then all of a sudden when it does a 180 – people start backpedaling like Deion Sanders and talking about, hey, look, I'm all about Big Ten playing now. And so it's just interesting to watch this thing unfold. It's interesting to watch all of us in the radio and the TV world try to report on it and keep up with it, when in reality, we don't know what's coming next with this COVID-19. And so I'm just entertained with the back and forth, the unknown, this squirming in the media to try to be on one side or the other instead of just letting it all play out. I think it's great for the kids. I mean, ultimately, that's all that matters, right, is that you've got a group of college athletes that are going to, it looks like at this point, are going to get to at least start their you know, the next season, junior, seniors. You know, you got a feel for those guys. So they're at least going to get to start their upper class seasons and play a little bit of football. So that's all that matters ultimately, is that the kids get what they've worked so hard to start. I'm excited about it. I'm a huge college football fan, so I'm excited about it.
Do you think that whatever damage was done can be repaired and that all can be forgiven with this 8-game season now that the Big Ten is moving forward?
Absolutely. Look, there's nothing that these guys, and I say these guys, meaning the commissioners, NCAA, Power Five conferences. I mean, I bet there's nothing that they can't get accomplished and they can't get beyond, right? It's just about at this point in time making a decision, sticking with it, and trying to get these games in. I mean, I think when University of Central Arkansas played, that was a good sign. I think when obviously the NFL got through training camp and have gotten through 1 week of games, and I mean the positive tests for COVID-19. I think I saw two players out of over 4,000 tests. Two players tested positive in the NFL. I think was the most recent data that I'd seen. And so I mean that's all encouraging, and really ultimately that would be the only thing that would stop the train of college football, is for something to happen at the pro level or with one of these organizations in one of these conferences, that games start to have to be canceled. Games that mean something. I understand there's some non-conference games right now that are being canceled, but when games that mean something and there's not going to be any ground to make those games up, so they're actually season-altering cancellations.
Right.
You know, I think until something like that happens, man, the college football, NCAA, these Power Five commissioners, they're going to be able to work through anything and make it happen.
He's a former Arkansas Razorbacks quarterback, now with our affiliate in Houston, Sports Radio 610. Clint Sterner is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. It's interesting to see the different ways that various schools and conferences have handled everybody going through mass testing, Clint, and everybody being in a system, in a structure where there's accountability. How confident are you that that can actually work for a bunch of teenagers and early 20-somethings?
I'm very confident that can work. I mean, we've seen it work for early 20-somethings, early 30-somethings in the NFL in a big, big way, right? The X factor here, Amy, is the X factor is that there's students on campus, right? And these students, clearly, there's footage everywhere on every social media platform out there of students that are clearly not abiding by the social distancing and wearing the mask and things of that nature. In fact, they're totally disregarding it. So it's the combination of the athletes being on campus with the students and with the student body. And I think that's something to keep an eye on. I mean, I think this is something where I can't remember if it's Colorado or one of the universities out there has just simply shut school down, sent their regular students home, and they're doing everything, I believe, virtually.
Right.
And that is really, to me, the blueprint to make sure that you put your best foot forward, is to not have students and athletes commingling all day on campus and then coming back together and being in a locker room. And I wonder how that's going to work. I wonder if universities aren't going to make the decision to send students home and keep the athletes on campus, because we all know the monies that are involved and how important it is at this point to get a season in, even if it is 8 games. I think we may see more schools send students home and be 100% virtually outside of your athletics. I'm pretty confident that the programs and the athletes will do what they need to do to pull off the season.
Understanding the role that football plays for these guys, how important is it for these athletes and really student athletes to have football in their lives?
Well, I mean, it depends on, you know, what perspective you're viewing it from. I mean, we got to realize that these kids go home if they're not in a structured program with a head coach and a strength coach they're checking in with. They're eating, the nutrition is unbelievable on these university campuses, especially with the athletes. And I mean, they're checking in every day, and so they're eating right, they're working out, they're taking care of their bodies, they're being tested consistently. There's an authority figure constantly in their ear every single day, making sure that they're wearing masks, making sure that they're social distancing. And so if we just look at it from that perspective, if they were to all go home and do classes virtually and not have those accountability figures in their life, I think they would actually be at more risk. So I'm one that believes that these kids are exponentially more safe in the locker rooms, in the programs, with the coaches, and all the things that come with being a college football player than I am if they were to be home in their hometowns doing God knows what, hanging out at parties and different bars and things of that nature. So yeah, I think it's the safest place for these guys right now.
And then looking at it from the perspective of the universities and the college towns, and a lot of the SEC schools are in towns where it's the biggest thing going. How vital is it to community life, and not just from a financial perspective, but just in general from a social perspective, and the idea that might be missing seems, I mean, it's hard to wrap my brain around.
Yeah, well, look, it's definitely missing. I mean, I played ball at Arkansas, where that's the only thing in the state now. I mean, when Arkansas football isn't very good, the state slows down. You can only imagine when the games other than the players, I mean, obviously as a fan base, you can't flock to Northwest Arkansas and go to the games. You can't flock to Oxford, Mississippi and go to the games, or Auburn, Alabama and go to the games. You just can't do it. It's not an option. So, yeah, from a social standpoint, it's definitely a setback. And you got to believe that financially for those towns, it's a struggle. You got to believe that at this point in time, what are we, six, seven months into this,
yes,
this pandemic? I mean, people are going stir crazy, and now you got to hit them with, well, you can't go do, you can't go to the football game of whatever school you graduated from. And so, yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow. There's no doubt about it. Although I don't know if you watched the Arkansas State, Kansas State game this weekend. But it appeared like students were full go and painted chest, no shirt, hanging out elbow to elbow. So I don't know how far we are from just opening up at least student sections and letting them kids rock and roll.
Clint Sterner is with us from Houston, part of our Sports Radio 610 affiliate, and a former Razorbacks quarterback, also spending a lot of time covering the Texans. And so the NFL, I think, had to have played a major role in this. Not just that, but also high school football, playing in some of these same states and regions where college football was not. And you look around, you think, okay, what are we doing wrong? But I will say, Clint, I'm pretty impressed that the Big Ten managed to swallow its pride, because I wasn't sure if powerful men and women who made this initial decision would be able to admit that they were wrong.
Yeah, you're hitting the nail on the head. I mean, ultimately, that's all that matters, right? It's because most people that are in positions of power, whether it be college football or be the NFL or heck, high school football for that matter, typically aren't the people that are cut from the cloth that will admit that they were wrong and will backtrack and will ultimately do what's right, even if it comes with a little bit of embarrassment and a tough situation, some adversity to get through. But you got to salute the Big Ten for doing that. Now the question is the Pac-12 follow? But I did think it was interesting that the Big Ten, they came out and said that it was the advancements in testing over the last 4 or 5 months that really pushed them to reconsider. When in reality, we all know that it was going to be very tough for them to explain away not playing football when it appears that everybody else is doing a pretty good job across the board. Like you said, high school for the most part, college football for the most part, and the NFL across the board to this point has done a hell of a job, and they're full steam ahead. So it would have been very difficult for the Big Ten to continue along the path of no season whatsoever. It'd be hard to justify that at this point with all the action going on around college and pro football around the country.
8 games in 8 weeks with a championship set for December 19th. So it's crunched. It's consolidated. It's dicey. If they don't play every week, they are behind the eight ball. But, of course, the goal is to have their top teams part of the college football playoff, which will be decided the final rankings on December 20th. So they are right underneath the wire. Clint Sterner from Houston, going to have you stick around for a couple of minutes. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to shift. I know you cover the Houston Texans. They had a tough season opener with an even tougher, maybe even tougher, opponent to come on the start of week number 2.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Play action on first down. Has a little time. Matthew hits him as he throws. It's a wobbler out there, and it's intercepted at the 45-yard line. Up the left sideline and looking for room is Legarius Sneed, and Sneed across the 30 and shoved out of bounds as he gets to the 20-yard line of Houston.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Kevin Kugler on the Westwood One Radio Network. It was a tough go for the season opener as the Texans fell to the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium, and maybe a bit of deja vu, though certainly some problems exposed as well. Now, the Chiefs are really good, but you know what? So are the Ravens. That's their opponent in week number 2. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're spending a few more minutes with Clint Sterner, who is from our Houston affiliate, Sports Radio 610, and a big portion of what he talks about on his afternoon drive show is, in fact, the Texans. And so what was your reaction to what you saw in the season opener for Houston in Kansas City? There were actually some fans who made the noise there inside Arrowhead.
Yeah, man, it was ugly. I mean, I'm glad that those fans got to get in and they all survived and it worked out for Kansas City, and maybe the future of NFL games will include more fans. But as far as covering the Texans, it was ugly. I mean, that was, if you look after watching, and I didn't watch every single NFL game, but I watched a good chunk of football over Thursday, Sunday, and Monday. And really the only team that jumped out to me to just simply not be ready, not look like they were ready to play. They looked like they took the field as if that was preseason week 1. they look completely outmatched by Kansas City, which I understand they're the Super Bowl, defending Super Bowl champs, but the Texans are right there at the door of trying to take the next step to become an AFC team that can compete in the playoffs and make a run in the playoffs to be competitive for the AFC Championship, if not a Super Bowl. And man, they took a big time step back. That's for dang sure. It's both sides of the ball. It was for 4 quarters. They were just completely outmatched, and it looked to me like they were treating it like a preseason game. And it's unfortunate, but you hope they can right the ship this week.
Well, and this week doesn't get any easier with the Baltimore Ravens, who I know fell short in the postseason, but they've got 14 wins from a year ago, a 32-point victory in the opener against Cleveland. What do they have to do to make sure they don't get stomped again?
Well, I mean, it starts with them. I mean, this is really a football team that underperformed last week, and so it starts with them looking in the mirror this week. The defensive line played absolutely terrible, including J.J. Watt, including outside linebacker Whitney Merciless, who those are guys that are typically really, really strong against the run. Benardrick McKinney, middle linebacker, he's typically really, really strong against the run. These are all guys that just didn't show. They weren't physical last week. They weren't disciplined last week. They were completely uninterested in being there. And so ultimately they got to look in the mirror and get that right. And then when you start looking at this opponent, if you look at the matchups, I mean, there's no doubt about it that Baltimore is not above giving you a couple of opportunities in the first half of the game. They put two balls on the turf this week and fumbling against the Cleveland Browns, and the Cleveland Browns were not able to take advantage of either. In fact, the Cleveland Browns in return, they just handed them the game on a silver platter. So I think the Texans have to play extremely clean. The Baltimore Ravens are a championship organization. They do the little things right. They take advantage of your mistakes. And if you don't take advantage of their mistakes, they will absolutely smother you and you will have no chance. And so it's about the Ravens. When they do give the opportunity to the Texans have to take full advantage of it, keep this thing close, and give yourself a chance in the fourth quarter. Because the Ravens and the Chiefs, they're the bar that the Texans are shooting for in the AFC. And the last few times the Texans have played either of those organizations, it's been an absolutely skull-dragging. It's been embarrassing. It's been unacceptable. And the Texans have to right that shit sooner rather than later.
All right, Clint, before I let you go, I'm so glad you are a quarterback. You think like a quarterback, because I have got to ask, after watching week number one, and I get it, there's David Johnson, there's Brandon Cooks, there's other targets for Deshaun Watson, but watching DeAndre Hopkins catch 14 balls from Kyler Murray in a victory over the Niners, and here's Deshaun, of course, who's running for his life, and he's missing D-Hop. I mean, what's going through a quarterback's mind when you see that play out and you know that trade was made in the offseason?
Well, he's got to be fighting to stay positive with this thing, right? Because, I mean, I'm a realist. I look at it like if I'm Deshaun, I'm going, well, we lost we were up 24-0 in the first quarter of the AFC, second round of the AFC playoffs last year versus Kansas City, and they came back and got us outscored us 51-7 the rest of the game, and we had DeAndre Hopkins at that point in time. So, personally, I answer that question all the time. Well, the Texans with DeAndre Hopkins didn't fare very well against Baltimore, and they didn't fare very well against Kansas City. So let's move on and move forward. But your question specifically is DeAndre Hopkins having a big-time week one? Think about it like this. Not only did DeAndre Hopkins have a huge week, right, but his team, who really hasn't won much over hell since I was in the league 20 years ago, they hadn't won much. But they were matched up against the NFC champion
right
from last year, and they beat them. The Texans, without DeAndre Hopkins, were faced against the AFC champion, the defending Super Bowl champion, and the Texans got embarrassed again. And DeAndre Hopkins goes for, I think, 150, and I think if you look at Deshaun Watson's top three receivers, they went for 153. So there's a lot of reasons for this situation to really sting Deshaun Watson. It's a bad look, but I do believe that he's got some weapons. It was obviously a poor showing, and I think when you look at a 16-game schedule this year, it's going to sting a little bit because Hopkins going to put up huge numbers in Arizona in that air raid with Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. But I think this group in Houston will come together and they'll put up some good performances for sure.
We shall see. But yeah, that's the type of news that I can imagine Watson woke up to and was just, I mean,
ouch.
Yeah. All right. You can find Clint on Twitter at Clint Sterner, Sterner, former Razorbacks quarterback. And according to his Twitter, he's now spitting fire on Sports Radio 610 as well as Cox Sports TV. It's good to have a couple minutes with you. Thanks so much, Clint.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Y'all be good.
Laying it out there for the Houston Texans, who admittedly are starting out with maybe a more difficult first two games than any other team in the NFL. Now, it's not impossible to make the playoffs when you start out 0-2. It really isn't. But if you want to be among those who's considered a contender in the AFC, or you want to keep pace in the AFC because you recognize that the teams at the top could separate themselves pretty easily. I mean, I don't do must-win games at this point in the season. I never do. However, gut check moments to be sure. Since 1990, teams that start the season 2-0 make the playoffs 61% of the time. That is according to Pro Football Reference. And how about this? It's a bonus nerd alert. The teams that start out 2-0 and make the playoffs win the Super Bowl almost 8% of the time. That is by far the highest Super Bowl winning percentage for a record after two games. So if you're looking for a predictor, it's still only 8%. Well, 8% of 60%. But it is a pretty good indication. Now, how about this? How many 0-2 teams make the playoffs? On average, it's about 12%. Now, it's generally will happen once or twice. I mean, we've seen it in recent history. But it's maybe one or two teams, right? So we're talking about a limited sample size. It can happen, but you put yourself in a hole. Yes, the Texans are starting out with two difficult opponents. But what a confidence boost it would be if it was a competitive game against Baltimore and potentially they could come away with a win. All right. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Lots of you already weighing in about which sport has best handled a world without fans. Which sport is best equipped when it comes to the audio, when it comes to the visual? Which sports are doing the best to almost make you forget that there are no fans right there on site? So either on Twitter or on our Facebook page, and we'll take your calls 855-212-4227.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Happy birthday to you.
Mahomes, who sprints out to the left side. He's holding it. He's going to try to hold it. Throws it late. And is it caught in the... It's caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! The Chiefs take the lead! And Kelce with another catch on a sprint out run pass option again! And Kelce gargling in the sweet nectar of the end zone. Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run.
Williams, the running back, to the left of Mahomes. Now they bring Tyreek Hill in motion with them. They fake to him. Throw right side. Caught by Williams at the right pylon. Touchdown, Kansas City. Andy Reid dials up a brilliant play. Kansas City regains the lead at 2:44 to go in Super Bowl 54.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Patrick Mahomes is 25 on Thursday. That's, yeah, that's kind of, wow. I love all those highlights. It's one each from what was an historic run to the Super Bowl. I mean, it happened in 2020, but it feels like ages ago. That took place in January and then February in the Super Bowl against the Niners. Mitch Holtis with the calls on the Chiefs radio network. The reason I say wow is because how many times have we heard he's the only quarterback under the age of 25 to win an MVP and a Super Bowl MVP. And we've been talking about all these things that Mahomes has done in his career under the age of 25. And it blows my mind because he is really... really accomplished, obviously very talented. He's got a contract that could pay him $500 million.
Mahomes magic!
But yet he's so well adjusted. He's so charismatic. He's happy. He's gracious. He's kind. He's generous. And he's a lot of fun. He's wonderful for the league as an ambassador. And yet on Thursday he turns 25 years old. Wow. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So happy early birthday to one Patrick Mahomes. And I saw that he was tweeting a little bit about it, an early birthday present. So you can check it out on his Twitter. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And it's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Clint Sterner, former Arkansas Razorbacks quarterback, who can certainly speak to the power and the passion in the college football world, but also talking about the Texans and how important this week two is for them to really find consistency and figure out that this is the regular season, not so much the preseason. And to all of our interviews, as well as the full show, they're podcasted every weekday morning. In fact, right after we get off the air, right after you hear the boom within minutes, the full show is available, minus commercial breaks, on podcast after hours, amylawrence.com. We'll usually put the link up on both Twitter and Facebook. Right now, a lot of you weighing in on our social media because there are some sports who have adapted better than others to a world without capacity crowds. There have been some fans. I mean, we played a highlight for you earlier, and you may remember from watching or listening to the season opener between the Chiefs and the Texans. There were roughly 17,000 fans there, and they were loud. And while it wasn't capacity so loud you can't hear yourself think at Arrowhead, and I've been there during those types of games, it was still a crowd that did not require any fake fans. It didn't require any piped-in crowd noise. We got plenty of the pumped-in fake crowd noise. The Superdome in New Orleans in the late afternoon game on Sunday, that was an example of a game in which the fake fans were really excited. They were fired up. And sometimes it's bothered me listening to an NBA broadcast on the radio. So not as much on TV, though it definitely bleeds through on TV as well. But listening to a broadcast on the radio where you almost can't hear the announcers, they have to yell over the pumped in crowd noise. And to me, that's obnoxious. We all know there are no fans in the stands. I don't think it's necessary to fake it to the point where you are making it so loud that your announcers have to yell over it when they're not even on site. So I'm not a huge fan of it. As I've said before, in 2020, I believe that we all recognize, even if we don't accept, I guess varying levels of acceptance, we all recognize that this is a year unlike any other, that it's a sports year that we've never seen before, we've never heard before. I don't need fake fans because I'm not going to forget what's happening. I don't need fake fans because I'd rather have authentic. I'd rather have real. I'd rather have genuine. We're all going through this together. Isn't that what they tell us? So if we're all going through it together, well, then the athletes know there are no fans in the stands or very few fans in the stands. We know as viewers, as listeners, there are no fans in the stands. So why are we faking it? Now, you could say that it's better for the athletes. And I think for sure to have some atmosphere, some natural sound, some background noise, which in the case of football stadiums that are empty right now, they've chosen to set it at 70 decibel levels. A friend of mine who was at the Broncos-Titans game on Monday night sent me a text and a couple of texts, but said to me, it's like an airport. And then he clarifies right away, the inside of an airport. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't really think it was like the outside of an airport. But essentially, and I asked him to clarify and kind of said, so what you're telling me is that there is a din. There's a natural sound. There are people talking. You can hear varying announcements here or there. It kind of ebbs and flows depending on where you are and what's happening in the airport. But you can have a conversation on the phone. And he was like, exactly. So it sounds like the inside of an airport. That's what one friend chose to use as the analogy. I actually have applied for a couple of credentials for a baseball game and an NFL game coming up in the next month or so. I don't know if I'll get them. Right now, credentials are fairly limited, especially if you don't cover a team, a particular team, on a regular basis. But I'm trying because I want to go so I can understand what it feels like to be in these huge stadiums where a game is going on and yet have them mostly empty. Of course, I've been in stadiums before where there are no fans, or I've been there before there are fans to cover games. I've also done shows from stadiums that are empty on days that weren't even scheduled to be game days. So I have been in empty, quiet stadiums, but not as much when there's a game going on. Batting practice, yes. Pre-game practice, yes. But not for an actual game. And a lot of the athletes said that it was weird, that it was eerie, that it was quiet. Even the NFL guys will say with 70 decibel levels, you can hear what the athletes and coaches on the opposite sideline are saying. I mean, that's how low this is. If they're yelling, that 70 decibel levels gets lost in a cavernous stadium. When you think about the NHL, I think they've done a really good job at making the audio levels noticeable, but not overbearing. It's not so quiet as to be jarring and take away from the broadcast or the game itself. In fact, you've gotten to the point where unless you're seeing a wide-angle shot with a hockey game, you don't even realize that there are no fans in the stands, and you're not thinking about the fact that this is an aberration. You're not thinking about the fact that it's 2020, they're in a bubble, they're in Edmonton, it's a neutral site. At least for me, I tend to forget. I get lost in the game. Is there a sport that you can watch and forget that there are no fans? I say if you do it like some of the NBA broadcasts where you're so over the top, it actually distracts you from the game. And here's one more example, and then I'll read some of your tweets. And I know this is actually producer Dave's question. He came up with this, and so I want to hear what he has to say too. He and I had actually talked about this on the show before. There was a Yankees-Red Sox game? I think it might have been a Yankees-Red Sox game, and it was on Fox. And there was a home run hit by one of the Yankees. And as the home run goes out, pretty sure it was a right field home run, short porch. Pretty sure as the home run went out, that was where Fox superimposed virtual fans in the outfield. So on the wide shot, the shot from home plate that shows you the field, the outfield, the stands beyond it, you could see the fans. They weren't cheering. They were just kind of standing there. They weren't making a lot of noise. It definitely didn't sync up with what was happening at the time. You see the ball land in the virtual stands, and the people, again, don't react because they're superimposed. But the weird thing was then when they show a tight shot of the Yankee rounding the bases, the fans are gone. So you can see off in the distance, the fans have disappeared. So that's jarring to me, where you have fans who are just standing there and the ball kind of hits one in the head. And of course, he doesn't react because he's not really there. But then you jump cut to him rounding the bases and there are no fans in the stands. They're completely empty behind the athlete who just said they hit the home run. I know Fox has indicated it was going to be using superimposed fans as well as audio, but Fox didn't use it. Unless I missed it, it didn't appear that there were superimposed fans on the Bucks-Saints broadcast. I could be wrong, but I looked for them specifically, and it didn't appear to me as though they had put fake fans in the stands as a superimposed kind of visual aid. I don't need a visual aid. I know there are no fans in the stands, and I feel like you're insulting my intelligence or trying to dupe me when you fake the fans out there. I mean, come on. No one's going to forget in 2020 that there aren't capacity crowds at sporting events or anywhere else, on Broadway, at movie theaters, in restaurants, at concerts. We're not going to forget because we're reminded every single day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. And producer Dave, I don't know if he made a list for this one, but which sports are well-equipped, which sports are not?
I make a list for everything. It's kind of the way I operate.
Do you actually write it out in cursive?
No, I gave up on cursive in like the
chicken scratch.
Third grade.
You did?
No, I mean, I can write it, but, you know, I have bad handwriting. But anyway, I think the NFL, as per usual, has done the best job, as it usually does, of all the sports, not just the major sports, to kind of make you forget. And I think that obviously when you zoom out and you see that there are physically no fans, of course, but I think just you get so wrapped up in the game of the NFL that I don't think about it as much. I go to baseball, and I remember for the very first game of the season, it took a minute to get used to because I was like, man, you can hear things
everything.
You don't normally hear.
Yeah.
And then they pan out, and you either have a weird cardboard cutout or superimposed fans or nothing. It's just like emptiness, and you have like guys who are on the bench but aren't playing or now sitting in the stands. It was just a weird atmosphere. For me, I personally like watching golf and tennis, but I think it's impossible not to notice because you can hear things you're not supposed to hear or don't normally hear, you know, with no fans. You're hearing the guys talking, you know, in terms of golf, maybe of, you know, how far they are off the green, what they're aiming
for.
But
you don't like that?
I love that.
I love that. Okay.
I love it because I play golf and I love that insight into the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it just makes it, in terms of not having fans, impossible not to notice. So I love it. I think it's a positive, but it's you can't not notice it. Hockey, I think it's been great too. I think you also have the TV versus the radio aspect of things, where some broadcasts are just not doing as good a job to modulate or put the right amount of volume
balance.
At the right time. Exactly. So I think, you know, TV and radio is a different animal in this conversation, but I think that the NBA has been fun to watch. It's been entertaining. They've done a great job with it overall. It's also impossible not to notice because you have these huge screens when you're watching on TV.
I don't like them. They're annoying.
Yeah, it's just a weird experience with the fans like doing crazy stuff on the screens. It's impossible not to notice as well, but it's still been entertaining to watch.
Yeah, the product itself, I applaud the NBA. I applaud the NHL. The product itself on the court and the ice has been awesome. The NFL were early on, but I guarantee those guys are going to bring it. Baseball, they've gotten used to it. I think that they were scared straight by what happened early in the season, so they've gotten used to it with their remote and socially distant home run celebrations. And even the Dodgers not allowed to celebrate in the clubhouse after winning. They're locking up a playoff spot.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.